Tonight, we'll open the show by talking with comedian Dwayne Kennedy and actress Erica Nicole Clark. Then later, it's New Music Monday and the Bellwether join us in studio. Finally, Pretty Late favorite Brandon C. Price rides sidecar. All that and more right now on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
Oh, hello. It is, it's Monday night in the Allstate Showcase studio. We are live on Michigan Avenue where it's a little bit rainy out. Craig, how did you spend the rest of your Thanksgiving weekend?
Eating a whole lot of food at different Thanksgivings.
How many Thanksgivings did you have?
I went to one on the south side with Betty's family. My family came up for one, and then we had kind of another friend one that people invited us to.
Do you feel a little all Thanksgiving'd out?
Oh, yeah. And I have so many leftovers, and every time we went to one, mm-hmm. they were trying to give us leftovers, and I was telling Betty, I was like, don't take more leftovers.
Maybe Monday night after Thanksgiving is when we should start doing second Thanksgivings, because last week, Rob, I don't know if you have heard how our second Thanksgiving went, but it was lovely. We enjoy mm-hmm. the company with each other. It was, you know, we had invited a lot of our friends, not everybody. And I want to apologize to those of you who did mention perhaps that you would have liked an invitation. We went with some of the lists that we had last year, some people along the way. Because it had been so crowded last year, we thought, well, let's just try to keep it to, you know, so it's not too
crazy. Oh, yeah. We anticipated so many people. We had a bunch of food.
There were people who said they didn't come this year because it was so crowded last year. Here's what happened, Rob. No one showed up that was not in the building.
No.
Already. Not one person.
Not cool.
I am one of those people that worries about throwing a party that no one will come to. And there it was. There it was. And it was lovely. It was cozy. We had our listeners. It's not true that no one showed up because all of our listeners that were here on Thursday night were a lot of fun to talk to. So we had Carm, who had not had his Thanksgiving dinner. Roger Badish had not had his Thanksgiving dinner. So we enjoyed some of the traditional trimmings and turkey. So it was fun. How was your Thanksgiving, Rob?
Finally took the feed bag off yesterday.
Yes.
And it was very nice. It was very pleasant. We hosted, which is just the way I like it.
Wonderful.
Because I can get myself into a food and booze-induced coma.
Oh.
Don't have to worry about going anywhere. And we had a good time.
That's
took the kids to see the Good Dinosaur yesterday as well.
Oh, how was that?
Very good.
Yeah,
very good.
You don't sound blown away. Very good.
No, it was very good. It was a lot of Lion King themes running through the movie.
Right, but Orphan Dinosaur.
But good animation and
yes,
and a good storyline. So
but
it was a lot of fun.
But not totally blown away. It wasn't one of those Pixar movies that goes mm-hmm. to this different level. There were moments where it was kind of a kid's movie.
Okay.
And you could tell it was a kid's movie.
No, it was a tearjerker. I think it was actually more adult-oriented than it was for the kids.
All right. Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Then the disagreement over the new dinosaur.
Yeah, okay.
Movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's it called? The Good Dinosaur?
The Good Dinosaur.
The Good Dinosaur.
Oh, okay.
Yes, his name was Arlo.
It's not the Great Dinosaur for a reason, though.
Oh, wow. All right, then. I think that we've heard Craig's verdict on that.
There's the review.
Well, I noticed it in your voice, though, too. Very good is not blown away. I'm just saying. You enjoyed it, though.
I did.
Okay.
I don't feel like I was. Let me put it to you this way: it was money well spent.
Cool.
There you go.
Did you do any of the what kind of traditions do you have once Thanksgiving has come and gone for getting into the rest of the holiday spirit, Rob? Do you have do you trim the tree right away? What do you do?
Oh yeah. Yeah. In fact, the Friday after Thanksgiving, we go out and purchase our tree.
Ooh.
It's already put up.
Nice.
Most of it's decorated. I put out the lights yesterday
mm-hmm.
outside. We've got a nice wreath.
Oh, you did do it all up.
The inside of the house should be decorated by the end of the week. And then we usually leave it up for about a week after the, you know, week into the new year, and then we take it all down.
Oh, see, that's I like that progression right there. Craig, yeah. I know that you were doing Christmas festivities today as well.
We got a tree.
Congratulations.
Yeah, it was awesome. Really fun.
We haven't done that yet.
I don't know why something came over me to get one right away this year, because I've never done that before.
I think that we're all kind of needing it. Don't we kind of just need the holiday spirit
this year?
Like, we're in a rush for it.
Mm-hmm.
We went to the Botanical Gardens on Friday. Every year we go see they do a wonderful holiday train. They do the entire city of Chicago, with wood. They carve it out of wood and flowers, and it's beautiful. But Declan's not that impressed. Those of you who are familiar with my young son Declan, you know that he has intellectual disabilities and physical disabilities as well. So he was interested in exploring the entire area, which led us to a little theater they had where they were explaining overseeing the construction of the entire scenescape at the Botanical Gardens. And Declan was, he loves rooms like that. There were hardly any people in there. It was just a video that was on just constant, you know, was just replaying over and over again. And it had captions so you could read it as well. But Declan has a little book that plays piano. He soothes himself with some music. So to be honest with you, that becomes background noise to me. I don't really hear it all the time anymore. So I didn't really notice it. And he was going up and down the aisle, and I gave him a little bit of distance because I'm always within arm's reach. I'm always, you know, so I thought, you know, this is a moment for me to give him a little bit of independence, explore a little bit. I have the room sort of, I'm at the back. I can see where the doors are. I have a complete, you know, view of him. And as he was going down one of the aisles, this woman in a fur coat, by the way, she's sitting there. And there were four people in this big theater. She started going, "Young man, young man." And I started laughing because I realized it was the very first time in Declan's entire life. He's 10 years old. It was the first time he had ever been young manned because he's never more than an arm's length away from me. We're always so in control of his environment that there isn't even an opportunity for you know, somebody who's older to go to correct him for anything socially. Young man, young man. And of course, Declan doesn't respond because his reception of language isn't quite there yet. We also don't know his quality of hearing because he's missing part of his brain. But I let it go for a couple seconds. I just wanted to see how far she was. Part of me wanted to see how frustrated she was going to get and what was going to happen next. Because I was like, yes, a 10-year-old is often addressed by older people who want to correct them socially. So I kind of wanted to, but all she was doing was young manning him. Young man! And it just made me laugh. So finally, I walked up to her and I said, my son has an intellectual disability and he doesn't speak, so he may not respond to you. She goes, well, that noise, that music is a bit much. And I hadn't really heard it. And I go, oh, okay. I go, well, it soothes him. And she goes, well, maybe he can play with it somewhere else. And I just smiled at her. I just smiled because I didn't really have anything to say yet. So I walked over to Declan and she goes, rather than, you know, take him out of a room where he was enjoying himself, I just took the book away. And I didn't know if he would start crying or throw himself down on the floor or what was going to happen. And he kind of wanted it back at first. He was reaching for it. And then he just started playing some more, walking up and down the aisles. And I just kept smiling at her and she got up to leave. She didn't even stay anyway. She got up to leave after that. I had resolved what was bothering her, and she got to leave, and she just gave me a chin, you know, like one of the, what do you call that? What's that?
Chin nod, a little acknowledgement thing.
Like that. And I just kept smiling at her because what I wanted to say was, I'm so happy I could make this moment better for you. Whatever I could do to improve your quality of life right now, by all means.
Please
let me know what that is. Anyway, that was, I was amused by that because I kind of love the sound of Declan getting young man. Of course he should be. I just didn't realize it had never happened before. We are live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Brandon C. Price joins us, and we are going to welcome a few more guests. How are you doing, Brandon?
I'm wonderful. How are you, Patty?
I'm very well. We have a lot to talk about tonight, and I want to invite our listeners to start joining the conversation. We are going to order pizza, by the way, and this is for everybody tonight that's here because I feel bad. 312-981-7200. Two things. I have two questions. What should we put on our pizza? But also, I don't really know how to put these things together because we need to get right into the conversation. We've talked, of course, several times on the show already about the Laquan McDonald shooting, and I want to talk about it tonight. But I want to ask you, do you think it was important that the video was released? 312-981-7200, or do you think that it never should have been released? Because I know a lot of people have watched it, a lot of people have reacted, and I want to know your thoughts on just that part right now. Do you think it was important to release that video for us to see it? 312-981-7200. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio, and I was asking you before the break what your thoughts were on the release of the video of the police shooting of Laquan McDonald. And I have in studio with me my guests. We have Dwayne Kennedy, Erica Nicole Clark, and Brandon C. Price. I wanted to have a conversation about a lot of stuff. I haven't given everybody the heads up on what we're going to talk about, but this is something that is obviously in the forefront of many people's minds, not just in Chicago, but nationwide. This is not an isolated incident, clearly. But this video is something that we all can view, and I know some people have chosen to not do so, and that's obviously personal preference. And I'm curious as to why you have or have not seen it or what you think about its release. And we have on the line with us Pat. Hey, Pat, what do you think?
Hi. I think we have to see it. I think
we have to see anything like that that's going on in the city, or it will only go on more.
See, and I think that's what a lot of people think, because otherwise it can become someone else's story.
And I think there are lots and lots of good cops, many more good than bad. But still, we have to look out for the bad apples.
Pat, thank you so much. You know what? It's always good to hear from you.
Thank you.
Of course. Have a lovely evening. I'm gonna ask my guests what their thoughts are. Dwayne, it's been a while since I've had you on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, you need to come on more often. Erica, you as well.
No.
Because Brandon's here like all the time. I can't get rid of him.
Ew.
Because here's the difference. Brandon is one of those marketing guys who like he texts and he goes, "Hey, you know that kind of you two need to get on me." A lot of comics we're bad at promoting ourselves and
I'm
saying
like pushing myself on people.
Push yourself on me.
All right. Okay.
Because I had this discussion earlier, Brandon, with our programming director. I go, I have to stop calling my black friends when black things happen. Because I should have my black friends over all the time.
When black things happen.
Yes.
I think it was
kind of
black.
Yeah, I was a little black. I'm just saying, that's what it feels like.
Well, you keep saying stuff like that, you won't have any black friends. So you know what I mean? You don't have to worry about it.
But that's,
you have to call your white friends when black things happen.
But that's the honest part of it, right? Is that, like, why, you know, why aren't I not, you know, I'm like, oh, well, let's get what their point of view is. Well, of course, I should have your point of view on everything, not just
right.
this.
Right.
That's what I mean.
Right. And because I think that only illustrates how segregated people are, you know, because people of different races, sometimes they don't have conversations. They have confrontations. They
right.
have, you know, it becomes an anthropological thing. Just, well, you know, as a black person, when the black things happen, do you know what I mean?
Right.
Other than if people who work for the police or work for groups that are in power interacted with groups that are not like them in ways that weren't dealing with power, maybe you wouldn't have these issues of, you know, you wouldn't be dealing with people as an other,
right.
as a stranger, as a threat.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And I think that's how people are feeling right now.
Yeah.
Because when they see a protest, they're, oh, here we go. They're going to burn the city. Or
right.
people were mad about the right. Christmas tree and people tearing down the
yeah,
lights.
Yeah. I was like, come on. But I wrote that in a Facebook post and mm-hmm. some people got like super upset about it. Cause I was just like, you know, people wrote about like the thing that happened in Paris. They wrote about like other thing that happened, and then I'm particularly talking about white people, and then did not say anything about like, oh, can't wait to go Black Friday shopping. So I was just like, you know, at this point, like your silence is not ignorance anymore. It's just like you're purposely doing it because maybe you don't know what to say, mm-hmm. you know, or you think you're going to come off wrong, so you're going to get a bad reaction. But
yeah, and
I
that
feel
I
like
think
you have to say something.
And right? I think that's one of the reasons I didn't post anything this time. Like I posted when Tyshawn Lee was shot and killed, was mm-hmm. murdered, executed. I made his photo my banner picture. I think that was something. Not that was a story that everyone needed to know.
Right.
That this is our city. This is our this is our child.
Right.
This
yeah.
is our child. And Chicago.
Right.
And, you know, and there was no backlash to that except for, you know, this is a tragedy. This is horrible.
Right.
And I, for whatever reason, I did. I felt like that. I felt like my listeners would be like, oh, you know, taking the side of the cops. I live
right.
in a neighborhood where there's a lot of police officers. Uh-huh. And I was eavesdropping a conversation at a coffee shop. And this cop was saying, well, if he wasn't on PCP and if he didn't have a knife, and this was before everyone saw the video.
Okay.
It was moments before, like right after the press conference,
okay.
before we saw the video. And I was like, oh, we're already getting a, like, you know, coming up with reasons.
Right, yeah.
Right. It's always a justification.
Right.
You know, if you hadn't this, if you hadn't that, if he hadn't looked this way, if that person hadn't had the pants so low, hadn't had pants so high, if you hadn't been so dark, if you hadn't been...
Yeah.
Right, how many ifs do there have to be before we stop?
Well, it's by the so way, easy to use those things to deflect from having to man up and have that conversation. You know?
Right,
right.
Yeah.
And it's so... I think, like, with the when the Confederate flag thing happened, it wasn't about the flag regardless of whether the darn thing should be up or not. Like, mm-hmm. it's just easier to talk about a piece of fabric than it is the actual issue
right.
behind
yeah.
it.
Right. That I'm a frightened racist.
Mm-hmm. Craig?
It's hard to be a racist.
Right. Quick text message from the 224. We don't have to see this kind of a video. The fact that the young man was shot 16 times and that the officer was trying to reload to shoot him more is appalling. No need to see it.
Right. For that person. I think for a lot of people, it seems to have made, you know, I think people, there were people who changed their mind, who went in it thinking, well, you know, he lunged at them, hearing that story, that version of it, and having seen it, they're like, oh, that's not what happened.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking, too, because I was like, It's kind of like with the Michael Brown thing. We didn't see the video. So it's like every police officer who shoots someone was like lunged at, feared for his life.
Right.
And then you see how far away he was from him. You see how many cops he walked past who didn't do anything. You know what I mean?
How many cop cars were there? So there were cars
and
there.
None of them were doing anything. And then you see him pull up and start shooting. And that
6 seconds in.
Right. Yeah.
I know. We all counted.
And then he gets a bail I could afford.
Really?
Yeah.
$150,000.
No. Like, no. To be fair, that was exaggeration.
Right. Oh, $150,000
for a murder one trial.
No, that's it was okay.
I just do radio for fun. Yeah.
Patrick wants to join.
Flew here in my helicopter.
Patrick wants to join the conversation. Hey, Patrick, what was your question?
Well, first off, the cop, you know, is like one of extremes.
Yes.
He does not represent all the police. I have numerous officer friend. My father-in-law is a retired cop. First off, yesterday they were saying something about cops are trained to empty their gun. No, they're not. They are trained to shoot to kill. That's it. One shot, five shots, whatever it takes. The guy shouldn't have shot that kid. He was not an immediate threat. He was walking away from him. Everybody can clearly see.
Do you know if they're, Patrick, since you know so many police officers, are they also trained to then check on his vitals after they've shot him or taken him down?
So if he's down, they clear the weapon from him, then they check his vitals, then they handcuff him.
Which also did not occur.
It could be an either order. But either way, you ain't got to check vitals if somebody gets shot 50 times.
They still got to, I think he's still
checking. But that's by the book, right? Yeah.
But you still check,
times,
yeah.
Because he kicked the weapon out of his hand.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we were kind of off the book at that
my
point.
Question is,
but you're absolutely right.
Yeah. So, what was your question, Patrick? Sorry.
Well, they should make a huge deal of any person getting shot by a cop. I don't know of anybody except officers of the law that have heard the story about the white guy that two cops in, I want to say Mississippi, went to give a warrant. They went to the wrong house. The white guy freaked out, took off from his house with his 9-year-old kid. They chased him around town, emptied their guns into him, killed him and his 9-year-old.
Yes.
And there's nothing on the news about it at all.
Yeah, no.
And again, I have black cousins. I have black friends. I am not racist, and I don't think anybody should be able to get killed without there being a question by the cops. But I
get what you're saying.
And those officers were charged. Here's one difference. Those officers were charged immediately.
Yeah.
Immediately. After that chase.
You can't hear nothing about that.
You had to hear something about it or you wouldn't be telling us about it.
Well, I heard it's not from the media. I heard about it from my father-in-law, who's a cop.
Oh, okay. It wasn't in the news?
It was.
No, that's not true. We covered the story.
There you go. Patrick, actually, hold on a second. Yes, Rob?
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, Patrick, we did cover that story.
Yep. So, more after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Hey, Craig, I'm trying to order a pizza again. And I'm having a little bit of trouble. Can I give you my phone and the other car to finish this up? Because otherwise I'm on the... I was trying to wrap it up with her. I think the rest of the card's on there. Otherwise, tell her the rest I'll pay in cash when they get here. And this is a professional show, Erica, Dwayne, Brandon.
Right.
Now we're having a very important conversation. Also, I want pizza from Lou Malnati's.
We got to address this racial situation and give me half pepperoni and...
The person's got to eat.
Yeah, you're right.
We got to eat.
You're right, Patty.
You know what? I asked people to go ahead and order, tell us what they wanted on our pizza. That's what we do sometimes. We have them tell us what to eat just for fun.
Does that ever go poorly?
No.
Called in and go triple anchovies.
Oh. I love anchovies.
Horseradish on there.
Oh, that would be weird.
And a pound of pineapple.
Oh, now but see, the thing is, we might pick the most. We pick the one that we would also want. We usually get a lot of submissions. We get a lot of calls. Usually, we pick the one that sounds, digestible.
Oh yeah.
They did not have those toppings, but we still picked it as one we would eat if we could. It was like sun-dried tomatoes and onions.
Oh, a hypothetical pizza. A theoretical pizza.
Yeah,
I got you.
But tonight we went with just pepperoni and cheese since no one offered anything.
That's what they order in those war-torn countries. Theoretical food.
Theoretical food.
Yeah.
If we could eat.
Yeah.
The Never Never Land dinner table.
That's a terrible game
if we
play.
Didn't live in a bunker in eternal darkness, what would you like to... What would you order?
Terrible game to play when you're hungry.
It's the worst game to play when you're hungry.
You're doing it, Peter.
Right.
Isn't that
right? Right. If there wasn't a 3-year drought going on, what would you grow and eat?
Yeah. How much water would
wasn't that
drink?
Wasn't that a little bit? I can't remember. I feel like when I was a kid, I used to read whether it was Anne Frank or other things about the Holocaust. And Erica's like, "Are you going to make this funny?" I don't think I am. No, I mean, like, there's a lot of serious stories that have been in the news. But Griffin and I, my older son Griffin and I, locked into a story that Ben Carson had said that in order to make Syrian refugee camps look better, we should use Halloween candy to spruce them up. The Halloween candy money, instead of buying Halloween candy because he's a Seventh-day Adventist, right, that we should instead save that money and send it somewhere where we can spruce up.
That is the man
up.
I want running my budget.
That cat is a lunatic.
Dude, nuts.
Yeah, I don't.
I hate to say that about a brother, but man.
Yeah, does he? I'm not quite sure what he's going to say next.
And right. He isn't either.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Is that why he has his eyes closed the entire time?
I think so.
I don't know what he's
writing his own prescriptions for himself.
He does seem to be. Between him and Trump and Ted Cruz, is there anything that they won't say?
Man, that party is just so screwed.
They make it entertaining, though.
I don't know. Yeah. And I would be entertained if, you know, when comedians, you know, tell a joke or do a bit that I flinch and I go, oh, I really wish they hadn't done that. I often don't say anything unless it's something personal. I'll say, hey, right, just so you know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But Donald Trump last week had been interviewed by a young man who had a disability.
Right.
And then he went on stage
and
mocked him and he imitated him. Ah.
Yeah, I mean, what are you, eight?
Right.
Okay, this is exactly what I thought, because when I was young, there was a girl in my school. Let's call her Carrie, because that was her name.
I was like, it either rhymes with Carrie or was Carrie.
It is Carrie.
Right.
And she bullied me, so in retail, and my guess is she was bullied before I transferred into that school, because I'd been bullied at my grade school, and my parents wanted to get me away from being beaten up all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So they transferred me into Our Savior, and she picked on me right away. So I picked on her back, and she was a bigger girl, mm-hmm. and one day she was running ahead of me in the gymnasium and I was running behind her and I was making hand gestures like she was bouncing and making the whole floor shake.
Okay.
And when I caught up with her, I was behind her so she didn't see me, but I don't know if anyone was laughing. I don't know who saw me, but I learned who saw me. It was her mom. Her mom was in the kitchen. We had like a pass-through window and her mom had seen me make fun of her through the entire length of the gym in front of all of our classmates, in front of the entire school.
Mm-hmm.
And she stood there, her daughter got there, and she asked me how I felt about myself. Did I feel proud of making fun of somebody and their size? And that is something that has stayed with me for the rest of my life.
You said, yeah, I felt great. I feel. That was my first
like,
bit.
Yeah, I feel good.
Did you see
what your daughter's been doing for the whole year? You saw it one time?
Yeah,
please.
Did you see the yucks I was getting?
Did you see your daughter throw me on the floor of the locker room floor?
Yeah.
Comedy is at the expense of
somebody. I know.
But it was through her mother's eyes. Like, to me, it was like through her mother's eyes. And I guess now as a mom, like, I see someone make fun of somebody with a disability, and I'm like, that's going to happen to my son. You know, that's on a national scale and a presidential candidate.
But the difference, Patty, you were a kid.
That's what I'm saying, though.
You were an actual kid.
Yes, I was 11.
I used to teach my kids this. You know, I taught special ed kids. We make fun of stuff that people can change.
Mm-hmm.
So you can make fun of the fat kid because she can lose weight. You make fun of messed up haircuts. All that can change.
Yes.
Don't make fun of anything that's permanent.
Hello, I'm Erica Nicole Clark for instructional mockery.
But you know, because that keeps it like safe. It's like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean,
it's good to have a line,
right? It's just like, I know what you're saying, Patty. I really hate. And when I saw that, it made me cringe too. Because I'm like, oh, I hate that. I hate when comedians do that, make fun of special kids and stuff like that. Like, I don't like that. But you know,
but when people are cheering that,
right? Yeah,
that's the other thing that's maddening. Like an audience didn't go, oh, never mind, and walk out.
Yeah,
like that to me is even more appalling.
Right.
This guy is more ignorant than I thought.
He does represent us.
Yeah. I love this guy.
Yeah, no, he's got all of our values.
I mean, not to excuse the man at all. I'm not a Trump fan at all. But, you know, when you're raised in a certain level of comfort, a certain amount of money,
right.
You know, your emotional growth is stunted. He's never,
absolutely.
Like, you made that comment, like, well, that was a kid that did that.
Right. Yeah.
Honestly, I don't see much adult in that guy, and I don't think life ever required of him to grow
That's
up.
That's a great point, man. That's true. I think he's a sociopath, you know?
Yeah, I'm mostly disappointed by the people who go to his rallies. Like, there's lines to get in. And
But that's always the underlying example of fanaticism.
I'm reluctant to go to any white person's anything that has rally in the title.
Mike, I have a question, though. Do you think his kids... they look like they all have, like, no souls. But, like, do you think that they agree? Because they're all like, oh, my dad. You know, like.
Well, who wants to be caught out of that will?
Right. This is like, are they just like, just say what you're supposed to so you can get daddy's money when he's shot?
I hate the immigrants too, dad. Whatever.
Right, yeah, like, whatever he says.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's take a quick break. But first, Peachy wants to tell me I did it all wrong on my pizza. Hey, Peachy.
Hey, it's a slice of heaven, first of all.
Okay. It is a slice
of
heaven.
Sorry, bad pun.
That's all right. That's all right, Peachy.
Okay. First of all, you start with thin crust.
Yes, we did that. Check.
Okay. You put enough sauce on there that it's soup.
Oh, that's okay.
You got to have sauce. You got to have a lot of sauce. I mean, that is the pizza.
Right.
Okay. Extra cheese.
Okay.
Okay. Pepperoni and white onion.
I'm not actually making the pizza myself, right? I have some time.
I live for Pizza Hut.
So when you call, you do this specifically? You tell them how much, like, sauce?
Yeah, and I tell them if there's not enough sauce on the pizza, I tell them thanks for the free pizza.
Wow. Oh, Peachy's got standards.
Wow.
More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. I'm joined by Dwayne Kennedy, Erica Nicole Clark, and Brandon C. Price. Or Brandon C. Price, Erica Nicole Clark, Dwayne Kennedy. I guess go in any order. Uh-huh. We're just having a conversation. We were talking.
Erica Nicole Clark.
Dwayne Kennedy.
Then,
yeah, I was going left or right. Exactly. Those guys.
Yeah.
Erica, do you have any performances coming up soon?
I'm doing the Blackout Diaries. Have you ever done
them? Oh, I've never done them, but I'm sure that I could.
Lots of fun. And then I wrote a book. Yeah, I wrote a book. So I self-published a book. And so
congratulations.
Yeah. It's an autobiography about when I was in high school and I had a little stalking habit.
High school lent itself to that.
Yeah.
Before Star 69.
Right. So me and my friends, we liked a group of guys. So we would like drive past their house 800,000 times.
Sure.
Break in.
Who's counting?
Right.
Break in.
Wait, rational at the moment.
Kidnap their dog. You know, stuff like that.
We had
like teams and nicknames and.
Okay, wait. Let's live in kidnapping.
Can we live in one other place first, too? She said so casually that she wrote a book. I love that. Yeah,
it's
I wrote a book.
It's called How to Be a Stalker. But most people think, like, I'm just giving, like, tips on how to be a stalker. But actually, when I was a junior in high school, my mother was diagnosed with a mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, I grew up in Lake Forest. So,
Dad, like, cut down a bunch of trees and stuff.
Yeah.
What was
wore a lot
that
of
about?
Gold. So, but at that time, he got sued for paternity from three women. So, like, those two things happened
the same time.
Yes.
The same day?
Yes.
That's same day?
Out. Yeah. I didn't know my mom had a mental illness. Actually, it's odd because we're talking about police, stuff mm-hmm. like that. My mom had been acting strange and things like that. So that's where I started off. She had been acting strange. And then she went into a store and she got an argument with a lady. And the lady pushed the alarm button, like, and the police came. And my mom grabbed the cop's gun.
Whoa.
And, yeah. And nothing happened. Which is, like, amazing. And it,
did they
in
know?
Itself.
Did they know? I mean, you were living with your dad?
Yeah. We were living in Lake Forest. They didn't know anything. They just
they didn't know it was Mrs. T.
They knew who she was. Yeah, we were in a Rolls Royce. Yeah, they knew who she was. We were in Lake Forest. We were black. Of course, they knew who she was. Yeah, but yeah. So that's kind of like when all this started. And I was really, really fat. So it was kind of. It wasn't like something I did because I was insane. It was probably something I did like to get out of the house or like. You know,
sort of a soothing thing for yourself, though. It's a diversion for yourself,
right, yeah.
Something
so
to occupy.
Like, while this major stuff was happening, it was like, oh, me and my friends will just, I'll just take this guy's dog and bring it home with us. I don't know. But so that is what it's about. It's me dealing with you know, my parents mm-hmm. splitting up and my mom being diagnosed with this and me being a whale and having a, you know, because I was the only black girl in the school, too. Mm-hmm. So, and so it was dealing with, like, bullying and things like that. Yeah.
I'm going to have to get that book.
I think so, too. What's the name of the book?
How to Be a Stalker.
How to Be a Stalker. Yeah. Is it available already?
Not yet.
Not yet. When's it coming out?
Hopefully by Christmas. Right. I mean, my birthday is Christmas Eve. So.
December 14th. Can we, 13th or 14th, let's book Erica if you're available.
But yes. The funny part is, as a dude, because Erica's pretty. Mm-hmm. So you think if she's pretty, you know, you don't look at her as being stalked. Yeah, you know, she kind of likes me. Yeah, she comes by up down the street by 800-900 times a day.
That, that hot chick stole my dog.
Right, right, right. Right. I don't like dogs that much anyway.
It's a shame. It's a shame. Have you ever gotten a hold of the people that was it more than one guy or was it?
I'm gonna might as well say his name because his name is Link.
Because that's his name. Hey, yeah, Link.
Link O'Neill. And so he was older than me, but it started off innocently. He knew we were doing it. Uh-huh. So
have you ever spoken to him since?
Yeah. But like when I would see him maybe like a couple years after high school, he would always walk the other way.
Oh, no, here comes Erica. Right,
like, oh, my God. But yeah, I saw him maybe like 5 or 6 years ago and he's just like, oh, hey, what's up? Because we used to be lab partners in bio. So we actually were kind of friends. I just don't think he knew how insane I was.
How good
him.
The friendship was in
right,
your mind.
Yeah. And actually, but I don't want to ruin the book. Something cool happened. Cause my biggest fear in the whole book in junior year was being caught by them. Like I never knew what would happen if we were actually caught and right. we did get caught in the end. So
oh, yeah. Don't give away the end of the book. Yeah. We got to buy the book.
But something very cool happened. So yeah.
And I can say, man, I know that kook. To autograph this book.
I think that there was, I mean, when I was in high school, I remember always, you know, wanting to be like trying to be at the right locker at the right time.
Yeah.
Let's call him Jason because that was his name. Uh-huh. And, I think a lot of people did. I don't know if boys did it as much as girls did. I think that there was they do it later in life into a more disastrous.
I was 260 pounds and on drugs. I don't remember.
See, yeah, I was 240. Yeah, I was a big girl.
But you're tall, though, so that weight is kind of more distributed.
You can't be 240 in high school. You know what I mean? And you're the only black person. And your dad's Mr. T.
Yeah. That's a lot of strikes.
That's a lot.
Crazy. Yeah, I just felt like everyone was staring at me. Like I was the representation for all black people.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Like when black stuff would happen, people would go to you.
No,
is that
real?
What you're trying to say, Erica?
Like the Pretty Late Show?
For real. Everything that ever happened, like the riots, it's mm-hmm. like LA riots. It's like, Erica, what do you think? Like,
right.
Hey, why are you asking me? Like, or this one. I don't
one.
Know.
So-and-so says, hey, do you know that guy?
Right, yeah.
you know that guy?
Like, no, yeah. And that's what I dealt with. I mean, but I was used to it because, you know, even when we lived in the city, I was always the only black kid. But mm-hmm. yeah, so it was just more, I felt like I was under a magnifying glass. So
and you were, though.
Yeah.
I mean, one, people knew who you were.
Right, yeah.
And they knew what you were.
Right.
That's the thing is that when you wear it on your, you know,
right.
when it's who you are in public,
right.
that's hard to sort of hide. So you found a way to hide it differently.
Right.
You know, to become somebody else that they mm-hmm. didn't know about.
Right.
Interesting.
Yeah. Were any of the kids at least a little bit afraid to, like, make fun of you, though, because your dad was Mr. T?
No,
was there any fear that Mr. T's going to come to school?
No, he never came. He came, like, twice. No, they would just, like, tease me. It became, like, that's how I even found out about my dad being sued, is that, like, a girl was teasing me.
Oh.
Yeah, and so she was like, oh, your dad, and whatever.
And what's her name?
Kelly Pullman.
Yeah, Kelly.
And I injured her badly when she told me, which is in the book.
Oh, okay.
Well, did you use all the real names in the
book?
Yes,
I did.
Chapter 3, so I'll screw Kelly Pullman.
Right. Well, I'll give you a little tidbit. Did you guys ever play Powder Puff?
No.
You guys
football, you mean?
Yeah.
Yes.
Like with the girls versus girls?
I mostly play with the boys, but I played, two-hand.
What is that?
It's just girls football.
Girls football,
pink jerseys.
And we always would play the day before, like, Thanksgiving break, and it'd be the junior girls versus the senior girls.
Mm-hmm. There was a big story a few years ago about the hazing. Do you remember that?
Yeah, up north.
Miss Glenn Barton.
Oh, it's super sick and crazy. But, yeah, so when we were playing the game, like, literally during the game, the girl said it to me.
Oh, yeah. She was taunting you during football?
Yeah, taunting me, like, oh, you're such a stalker, I was, like, letting go. And then she brought up my dad's stuff, which I didn't know. But
right.
Everyone around me clearly knew because they were all like kind of embarrassed. And I was like, oh, okay, she has to die now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, why would you do it in an environment where it lends itself
right.
to...
Yeah.
This is the only time I'm allowed to hit
right.
you right
yeah.
now.
Like, oh, okay, it's on now, Kelly.
Yeah. Yeah, so. Why don't you wait, like, I don't know, during class?
Right, yeah, but she did it with, then, yeah.
Where there'd be consequences for you if you tried to.
Right.
Keep it to yourself to graduation.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly.
So that's yeah. how I found out about it, yes.
Oh, man. I did like the meme that you posted with Eddie Murphy.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. And your dad. And the...
That was funny, yeah.
I know we can't use all the language.
Right,
it, but...
yeah. Someone sent that to me. I was like, that's funny.
Which one was it? It was the when you bring your
guy
your boy...
home. Yeah, and your dad wonders if you yeah. want to get married or if you just want
yeah have fun
have fun yeah we'll say
and,
that
and her
way.
Dad's Mr. T because that's her dad's yeah I like that one. We are hanging out with Dwayne Kennedy, Eric Nicole Clark, and Brandon C. Price. After the news, we've got the Bellwether. They're gonna play some music for us. We've got pizza coming.
It's a full night.
It is a full night. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, and we're live in the Allstate Showcase studio with Erica Nicole Clark, Dwayne Kennedy, and Brandon C. Price. It's also Music Monday, and we have in studio with us the Bellwether. Here they are with The Accomplice.
He started stealing things at school when we was only five. The age of 12, we'll rob the five and dime. He said, I'll watch your back, you watch mine. The devil's in the details. There's a detail of the devil on the underside of every living thing. And I agree what we've done. What we've done, what we've done, what have we done? The age of 17, he stole a car, and I came along for the ride. And there's a cruise going down the road, he said to me that this was just a game. Game, a game, it's not a crime. Devil's in the details. There's a detail of the devil on the underside of every living thing. And I agree, what we've done, what we've done, what we've done, what have we done? He said, let's rob a bank. Said, I found my old man's gun. So the hesitation in my eyes. He said, I'll get the safe. Just wait for me outside and drive. But I heard a shot and ran inside as the old guard was shaking Frankie down. Frankie kicked his gun across the floor. Before I knew it, I had picked it up and fired. And the guard fell to the ground. Get out while you can, get out while you can. My mother told me, oh, when I was just a child. Get out while you can, get out while you can. Old Frankie Allen drove away as I stood there in the crowd, you know. Now the devil's in the details. There's a detail of the devil on the underside of every living thing. And I grieve what we've done. What we've done, what we've done, what have we done?
Wow.
Wow.
That's the Bellwether. That's Tom and Eric, and we're going to talk to them in just a little bit. They're a group from Sheboygan, Wisconsin. I know that you just got back, Dwayne, from Wisconsin for your Thanksgiving celebration. Were you there the whole weekend for Thanksgiving?
I was, yes. I went up Wednesday, mm-hmm. did the Wednesday Thanksgiving Eve show. And I stayed up there on Thanksgiving in the hotel room watching football.
By yourself?
By myself.
Okay.
Loving
it. All right.
Yeah.
Just kind of hunkering down?
Hunkering down, hunkering up,
mm-hmm.
however you hunker. And then Friday and Saturday did the did the shows Friday and Saturday.
All right. Yeah. And Bozeman was at the game, wasn't he?
Bozeman went to the game Thursday, the Bears game, yeah, and cheered loudly for the Bears at Lambeau Field.
But he didn't have any tickets for you.
Nah, I wouldn't have went anyway, because Bozeman, you know, I don't want to hang out with Bozeman at a Packers game, cheering for the Bears, and, you know.
Oh, that, I see. At the, you're right. Right.
Yeah, he's a big dangerous. Dude. Nothing's going to happen to him. I'll probably get murdered.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
He's a big dude.
Yeah.
He's a very big guy.
Good guy, though. He's a good cat.
And every Wednesday before Thanksgiving, he has an event in Madison, Wisconsin.
That's his annual thing now. That was his 11th year doing it. 11th consecutive year.
How did we not get a consecutive thing going? I've never done a consecutive. I tried. No one came to my second Thanksgiving party here at Pretty Late.
What?
I did. Last year, we had everyone come on Thanksgiving night after their Thanksgiving celebrations. They brought their leftovers. The studio was full. Mm-hmm. And we're like, well, let's do this every year. And then nobody came. Oh,
so you don't do it anymore?
No. Well, we did it on Thursday. I don't think we're going to do it again.
Oh, no, wait. Don't give up on it, Patty. Next year.
Even my mom canceled. Dwayne?
When oh my God.
Even my mom said, you know what? I think I want to stay home. I want to go do some Black Friday shopping. And then she didn't even do Black Friday shopping.
She decided to stay home.
Yeah, well, you know. That's a lot.
I ended up getting the stomach flu after. And I'm going to say stomach flu and not food poisoning, because nobody else that I fed except for Elliot Serrano. Craig, you were fine, right? You didn't get sick? I fed you, right? And you were fine?
You fed me and I was fine.
All right. Roger Badish, when he gets to his microphone, we'll ask him if he felt all right. Elliot Serrano got sick on Wednesday. He came over for Thanksgiving dinner the night before. I did a lot of Thanksgiving this weekend.
Patty, you do a lot of things, period.
There's so many hours in the day, you got to use some of them. That's all.
You use all of them and some of mine.
I'm so sorry. No, it's not that. No.
You got a lot of things happening.
I got stuff. I make it happen. You know what? I feel like I slept a lot when I was a kid. Like I was saving up. Like I used to, like I would, you know, like remember when you were like in high school, you'd sleep all day on Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah.
Oh, you could not get me out of bed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, my dad would yell at me because I slept in the, we had a one bedroom apartment. So my bed was actually in the dining room.
Uh-huh.
And at one point I shared a bunk bed with my dad. Long story. But anyway, so.
Let's hear that story.
Okay. My mom threw my dad out. We moved in this one bedroom apartment on Northwest Highway in Norwood Park. And she and my dad shared, I don't know if she ever shared the room with him. I think she threw him out first because he snored and he smoked. I couldn't sleep with your father, so he had to sleep in the dining room.
Okay.
And she and I shared the bedroom. And then I started sleepwalking when I was 6 or 7 years old.
Ooh, you're so creepy. Oh,
why am I creepy?
God, sleepwalkers scare me. That is so creepy.
But we're not well. You know that we're not well. Like, they just found out that some sleepwalkers might have chronic pain. Like, it might be linked to, like, migraines and things like that.
So that's why you're getting...
I used to have chronic migraines, so I think that those two were related. But yeah, I used to sleepwalk. But I would... my favorite show was Wonder Woman. Oh, do we have the no? We're going to have the emergency broadcast thing in a little bit. My favorite show was Wonder Woman, and apparently in my sleep I would act out scenes from Wonder Woman.
Is amazing.
And I tried lifting my mother's bed, like while she was, like I thought I was lifting a car or something.
Oh boy!
And so she threw me out as well because, oh my God, I have to sleep. My mom was going to college at the time; she was getting a degree. I have to get my sleep. Do you think you are Wonder Woman in the middle of the night? So she went to John M. Smith's and she bought a bunk bed. And put us both, my mom, my dad, and I, in the dining room.
You all were banished to the dining room.
He's snoring and smoking.
Yes,
and they're lifting the bunk.
And I had to, to sleep. And that was the thing. They put me on the top bunk.
I said, well, you know,
super dangerous.
She's prone to sleepwalking. We might as well get some laughs.
Right? Yeah. Boom.
I dated a sleep eater.
Did you really?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. My mom does that with the Ambien, though. Normally. Yeah.
I don't know this girl's reasoning or story behind it, chemical wise, but you'd come in and she'd just be eating like ketchup.
That's sad because it's not on purpose. Was it always ketchup or was it just various condiments?
You know, I wasn't around that long.
You saw the sleep eating, you're like, what's next?
No, there were, I mean, that's not what killed it for me. Do your thing.
Do your thing. But I have to go, is what you said. It's time to go.
Rambling man.
I can't remember why I told you the story about sharing a bed with my dad. Oh, that's all weird. More after this on 720 WGN.
Sound the radio stations from town to town.
You You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. I'm joined by Brandon C. Price, Erica Nicole Clark. I don't know why I keep tripping.
I know.
Erica Nicole Clark. It's a lot of K's.
I know.
Erica Nicole Clark. Yeah, not K's. C's.
Erica Nicole Clark.
I'm going to have you say everybody's name from now on. And Dwayne Kennedy all join me in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Brandon C. Price with Vamp every Friday and Saturday night, 10:30 at MCL. And how do we find out information about tickets?
You head on over to VampChicago.com or all over the Twitter, Yelp, Facebook world.
It is a comedy music drinking show.
Music comedy drinking
Darn,
show.
I was so close. I got to get out of order. Music first.
It is
and
music
then
it's, first.
Then it's
then
funny.
Comedy, and then you get to drink along.
I get it wrong every
And then
time.
Eventually it's just drinking.
What were you guys having the night I was there? Was it whiskey or was it everything? It was whiskey, vodka?
We generally provide for the players whiskey and vodka and then like beer or wine if anybody wants it. I've
never seen anyone have wine in your
Courtney
ensemble.
Courtney will have wine.
Yeah.
She likes to be sober for shows, which is weird.
Yeah, they get progressively drunker. And they don't. You can't tell. They just are having fun. And the audience helps them with the sort of ideas and the themes of what they're going
to
sing.
I guess so. Before the end of the night, what's the idea? Hey, try to stand up.
They all seem very fine.
Yeah.
Is there a way that you build your tolerance? I mean, I guess.
by doing that show.
Yeah, after three decades, I have mastered it.
Congratulations. Well done. It's a very fun show. We were there last weekend. I look forward to coming back. You guys have we've passed your 100 show mark.
We are on 107 now.
Wow. Congratulations.
Yeah. It's been super fun.
And that's ever good. That's every Friday and Saturday night. Dwayne, do you have any shows coming up?
I do not. I just finished, Madison. I had been doing like a run, and one night is in Michigan, Madison.
Do you stop doing the one-nighters when the weather's about to change? Because you got to get off the road.
I got to get that money, Patty. Got to get that money.
But sometimes when you leave town for like $125 to drive to the UP.
Right. And then you come back with $3 because you had to use the other $122 to get out of a ditch.
Exactly. I came back from Green Bay in a snowstorm. I mean, just white knuckling it the entire way with semis, jackknifed, but like all over the place.
I had a gig about a month and a half ago in Wilmington, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. And I flew. I flew to Dulles. I had to transfer in Dulles, connect in Dulles, mm-hmm. but I was flying standby.
Okay.
So there was no flights to go from Dulles to.
Oh, no.
So I had to drive. And this was during that Hurricane Joaquin.
Oh, God.
So I drove from Dulles to Wilmington, North Carolina in a hurricane. And I called the cat. Hey, man, it's a hurricane, so we probably not going to have a show, huh? Oh, no, we're going to have a show.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was, I made it.
How long was that drive?
About 5 hours.
Oh, still. Yeah. So when you don't plan on driving.
Right.
That's the thing. I'm like 4 hours is my, I start getting, I, driving makes me, no, I get sleepy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I get drowsy when I drive.
Me
That's
too.
Not,
oh,
yeah. Especially
God.
In the daytime. Sunlight just, for whatever reason, I can't do it. I'd rather drive at night.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Goes all with your sleepwalking.
Right.
Well, usually after a show, though, what I'll do is I'll drive home. Like if I'm in Indianapolis, like that's like the outer limits of what I'll like a one, drive in one day kind of thing. Otherwise, I have to split up 4 hours. I can't. Mm-hmm. I used to do it. I used to drive to, I used to drive to Rapid City, South Dakota.
Whoa.
Yeah. And I would break that up. But that's still a haul.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, do you?
That was Mueller. Did you ever work for? Oh, you know what? We should. No. Let's talk about Mueller when we come back.
All right.
There's some towns someday, Dwayne. Erica
Mueller,
Brandon. As I'm just saying, there's some boogers that I just can't wait to see.
I know that's right.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be standing behind you. Yeah, what Patty said. I never liked you either.
Exactly.
That brother's talking like he's got a show.
We have the wonderful band, The Bellwether, in our studio. What song are we playing next? Are you playing? I'm not playing anything. Suitcase right now. There's a title track from their record, Suitcase. Here's The Bellwether.
There was a time when this suitcase, oh, this guitar case, was the only home I ever longed for. To to the night when I saw your face in the crowd. Oh, I was lost and found in the moment. In that moment. There's a mountain of clouds on the Michigan ocean at dawn, and the sound of the surf on the sand is the sound of home. And I've been away too long. The sound of the road is a chorus of pavement and tires, and the sound of the radio stations from town to town to town. So find my way back home. Find my way back home. There was a time when this suitcase, oh, this guitar case, was the only home I ever longed for. To a night when I saw your face in the crowd, oh, I was lost and found in the moment. In that moment, so find my way back home. Find my way back home. Hey! On the night of the concert, the theater lights are burning low, and the sound of the stage is the echo of every song that's held before. Get ready for the show. The sound of the crowd is a tidal swell crashing the shore. We can feel it in waves, and you make the stage feel like home. And we thank you for bringing us home. Yeah, we thank you for bringing us home. Oh, this feels to me like home. And you feel to me like home. It's where you go, and you'll never be alone. Never be alone. Oh, 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 oh. So there was a time when this suitcase, oh, this guitar case, it's the only home I ever longed for. To a night when I saw your face in the crowd, oh, I was lost and found in the moment. In that moment. It's a mountain of clouds on the Michigan ocean at dawn, and the sound of the surf on the sand is the sound of home. And I've been away too long.
Oh, well done.
That's the Bellwether, and they're amazing. They're live in the Allstate Showcase studio for Music Monday. More music and conversation when we return after. You're listening pretty late, and we are hanging out in the Allstate Showcase studio with Erica Nicole Clark, Brandon C. Price, and Dwayne Kennedy. It's Music Monday, so we also have the Bellwether in studio with us. They are playing at Uncommon Ground on Friday. Here they are with Catching Mercury.
Goes to bed 17 one night, shuts the door and hits out the light. He wakes up 25. Takes another blank, he'll never miss a thing, so he thinks he's missed the better part of his life. Makes another dollar, buys another day, he's on his way, he'll tell you everything he knows. Dollar signs in his eyes, sleeps alone at night, comes as no surprise. He dreams of gold and counts his green every morn. This has been going on for way too long. Never looks at who he's come to be. So love and be dead. it makes the man who tried to fit the whole world in the palm of his hand. The best things in life are the little pieces. It's like catching mercury. It's like catching mercury. Goes to bed 25 one night, shuts the door and turns out the light. He wakes up 33. Copa mogul fame, got his other name, but just the same, he's got no love except for greed. He owns the biggest house on the biggest hill alone, but still another deal is about to go down. Marco rules the day, bulls and bells are play. He likes to say, I own the ocean, man, well, I never drown. This has been going on for way too long, but you can't buy what you can't see. Love he can't afford, stands by the sword. He lives and dies with nothing but believes and always want to know. The best things in life are the little pieces. You drop the ball, you have to crawl to find all the pieces. You never win, you can't begin to fill this hole within. You're gonna keep going down. Said, how long is going down? So don't you know you have to get down on your knees and crawl, boy. Love you can't afford. Step by the sword, he lives and dies with nothing but believes and always want to know. The best things in life are little pieces. It's like catching mercury. It's like catching mercury. Goes to bed 33 one night, shuts the door and turns out the light. He dreams he's in his grave. There's a gold cone over both his eyes to his surprise. That's all you take no matter how much you save. Wakes up in the night all alone and frightened by the darkness. He's more alone than he ever cared to know. Mansion ain't no place to hide, so he hitches right and tells the driver, no matter where, I just need to go. This has been going on way too long. You can't run, you know. You better hide. There's nothing left inside. Love you can't afford. Stands by the sword. He lives and dies with nothing but believes and always want to know. So his life shattered to pieces.
Oh!
the bellwether. You're listening pretty late, and they are in the Allstate Showcase studio on WGN. You guys can come grab. Are we grabbing seats now? I think, and play another song later, maybe. Come on over, sit down. Eric and Tom, they're going to be playing at Uncommon Ground this Friday night. That's December 4th at 8 p.m. And you can go to their website, thebellwether.com. That's Bell with a E, B, well, two E's in, I guess. Thebellwether.com. And you can get their schedule there. They're also playing at Paradigm Coffee and Music in Sheboygan, Wisconsin on the 5th. And the Coffee House at Chestnut and Pine in Burlington, Wisconsin on December 12th. Because they can hear us in Wisconsin, just so you guys know. Do you have family and friends listening to the station tonight?
I hope so.
I don't know if any are still up. You know?
Why? It's not that late. Oh, my gosh, with everybody. Did the people actually tell you that when you said what time you're going to be on?
Yeah.
They said that's pretty late. Did you tell them that's the name of the show?
That was like a joke, yeah.
Yeah, that it's too late at night?
Pretty late.
Pretty late, yeah. See, that's why I called
it's gonna
that.
It's going to be pretty early by the time we get home. I'm not going to sleep tonight.
Why not?
Getting up for work starts at 4.
Oh,
so,
no.
Yeah.
We've made you pull an all-nighter?
Oh, definitely.
What do you do that gets you up so early in the morning?
Just nerd stuff. In a warehouse.
IT?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That kind of just nerd stuff in a warehouse.
How late do you have to work?
Till 5 or 6, I think.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Well, at least we should feed you and give you some caffeine. Do we give you caffeine or?
We have, there's a very carefully orchestrated spot where they have awesome Kringle on the way home. So
what's
the
Kringle?
The O&H Bakery. You don't know what Kringle is? Oh, my.
We're in Illinois.
It always goes back to food. We've had like a really successful run of interviews that always come to food.
Back to Kringle?
Yeah, we eat our way from tour stop to tour stop.
Okay.
And there's this stuff called Kringle, and it's a Danish pastry. And O&H in Racine makes the world's greatest Kringle.
In Racine. I think John DeCause brings that for Steve Cochran's show in the morning sometimes. I don't know. I don't know that I've had Kringle. Tom, which one's Tom? Which one's Eric? Which one? You are
Tom.
Hi, Tom.
Tom plays the bass.
Tom plays the bass, yeah. and Eric plays the singing and the guitar. And beautiful music, you guys. By the way, and it seems like you were having some fun too. I mean, like
I even got a little sweaty.
Yeah, that which is the successful measure of a gig.
Is that
how
what it
sweaty
is?
Did you get tonight? That was a good one.
I don't consider for. Do you consider getting sweaty to be? I think Brandon probably does because you do a lot of running around.
I'm just a sweaty dude.
Well, that's good to know.
So I'm really successful, I guess.
In stand up, if you're sweaty, that means you're bombing.
Yes, that's true.
I didn't say we weren't bombing. I just said. Oh,
you were not bombing.
No, man, it was great.
I didn't get your permission to pair. I periscoped a couple of those, by the way. I hope that was okay.
Oh, absolutely.
And I want to make sure people know about your music because that was fantastic.
Yeah.
We've enjoyed having you, and hopefully we'll play another one. Again, go to thebellwether.com to find out about their schedule. But this Friday, they're at Uncommon Ground, and that's going to be at 8 o'clock. Go to thebellwether.com. And so are you guys both from Madison, or did you Milwaukee?
I'm from Sheboygan area.
From the Sheboygan area. You don't want to tell specifically because,
it just gets worse. Like, it just gets more detail you go in.
More and more obscure.
It's nice.
It's a nice area.
You start hearing the theme for Deliverance the more you talk about it. The more rural
I don't
you get.
Do you think of Wisconsin like that?
Yes, I do.
It has its spots.
I think of most of America outside of urban areas like that.
Do you?
Yeah. This is a redneck nation. Pretty much.
It's farmland. Mm-hmm. I mean,
there's different types of rednecks.
Sure.
Yeah. I don't think we have time for that.
I didn't know we have categories. Is there like a graph?
Because I mean, you know, a ton of Yankees will say we have Southern people up here too. No, you don't. You have Yankee rednecks, which have a lot of similarities. NASCAR runs through everything, you know, that kind of stuff. But there's a very difference between not just Mason-Dixon, but like let's say the Appalachian redneck, the hillbilly, if you will, as opposed to like the Mississippi Delta redneck.
I'm sorry, I'm not laughing at any of this. By the way, Brandon is from Texas and Alabama originally, so this is a reflection.
Yeah.
He also does hunt.
Yeah, I make sure we make
habitat.
Friends before. Before I tell everyone that. Like,
yeah.
I just, because it's...
Friendship over. No.
I used to live in Louisiana, and I can vouch for that. It's definitely a different breed. Mm-hmm. You've got a...
The thing I think they all have in common, though, not too fond of your minorities.
No, Louisiana's not that bad.
Oh, it is.
Oh no. Another place to take off the map for going on tour.
Well, people... Are racist people are racist. I wouldn't say Southern people are racist. I wouldn't say racist people are Southern.
Oh, there's plenty of racist.
I would say sometimes those overlap, for sure.
I was surprised at how overtly racist they were in the South.
That's what I appreciated.
Is knowing?
Honestly, yeah.
Yes. Well, that's
like,
what...
It's more, it's like, okay. Like, I went to Mississippi, and some lady was telling me, because we stayed in a hotel there, me and my friend, and the lady was like, oh, there's a liquor store, like, right down the street, and then there's one, like, 5 miles away. Go to the one that's 5 miles away. Like, oh, I was just like, oh, she's like, you really don't want to be around there or in there. I was like, okay, I appreciate that. I'd rather that than... I
right.
know, just be
that's like get by surprise.
Right. I mean, it wasn't like whole. I mean, they're just more like
upfront about it.
Yeah, where us Northerners hide it better.
Well, and that's okay. And that's
and say he lunged at me.
And that's interesting about.
Right.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, I think that was a good. It was a good bring around because that's the thing. I was fascinated, not fascinated, because I was also like over my keyboard with social media for the last few days. Sort of, I feel naive sometimes. Like, I know, like, I grew up in a neighborhood where I was the only Mexican. And even then, I'm like a white Mexican, and I still got picked on. So I know. And when I tell people that, they're like, oh, come on, it couldn't have been that bad. And you can't explain how bad it is for anybody until you start seeing more of this and people, like, expressing what they feel about what's going on in the last. Oh, right now, I'm being told not to talk about it, apparently.
What?
I'm just kidding. But I sent Erica,
that the Lord of WGN.
No, it's a message. Don't read my Facebook post on the air.
Patty, ex-nay.
But I sent you, Erica, a post that I'd seen on Facebook that was I thought was disturbing. I saw this on someone's feed. And I'm not going to give the name out because it is public. But at the same time, I don't need to drive everyone to her site, to her Facebook thread.
Oh, that was a girl?
It was a woman. Everybody assumed it was a man.
I assumed it was a guy.
Yes,
yeah.
Let's call her Jen because that's her name. Uh-huh. But she says, no offense.
Yeah.
Oh, you love
we already know who's going to be offended.
It's already gone downhill.
Yes, mm-hmm. But the blacks are getting bolder.
Oh, man.
Because of this president.
Yeah.
When you have black thugs in Ferguson and Baltimore and other places getting killed by a white officer, and the president gets on TV and denounces this and makes statements like he did about Trayvon Martin, that if he had a son, it would be a son like Trayvon, .. That has given the blacks the balls to push the envelope a little farther.
Lord Jesus.
You know, these blacks are—they're getting out of they're forgetting their place.
I don't.
Right, that's pretty much
they're fair. Starting to assert themselves as if they're Americans.
Can they vote? I'm not even sure.
Yeah, right. Where does it say that?
Eric and Tom are like, did we say we were doing this conversation?
Right.
Yeah. Yes, you did. You actually said you were doing
it. We're more than happy to jump in on this.
Well, but I think that I grew up on the northwest side of Chicago with friends who would say racist. What am I saying? Friends. My dad would say things like, I had a friend in high school. Let's call him Jason because that was his name.
Is
Robinson. Yes.
Before you stop.
No. Oh, not the, okay. another boy. It was a really good friend of mine. Jason was a football player and a really good friend of mine. And he's black. Mm-hmm. And I had him over at my house one time. And the neighbors called my dad and said, "Do you know that she had a black man in the house?" Now we were 14 or 15 years old, and my dad said, "No, don't worry about it. I was just having some work done around the house because my dad didn't want people to know that I had black friends."
That's cool.
Well, there you go.
It was good times growing up in my But to have to call and let my dad know that I had a black person in the house was even just...
People are afraid. People are afraid. White people are afraid. And then you have those... They grow up with these notions and ideas of what they think other groups are without having any real interaction with them.
Right.
Which is what it is. But then those same people become lawyers and doctors and police.
Right.
With those same notions still in their heads. Now it becomes lethal. Do you know? That's the difference.
Which is why I think black people are probably afraid.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, also, that to that point, when you're raised that way, speaking as someone who is definitely raised that way, it buries it into your subconscious to a point where you don't you have people that say, like, well, I got two black friends, I can't be racist. You know what I mean?
Right.
But
right.
You don't realize subconsciously so much of your behavior and activities and the choices that you make involving people of different races have that undertone in them just because that's the way that, like you said, that you're almost brainwashed from being raised. I think there's less of an excuse now because information is so much more widely spread that if any that lawyer, that doctor, they have to put it on themselves, the impetus of their change. It's just when you see people like that that call over and say something like that, it's
you know, I'll have a lot of sympathizers in my family who will defend very conservative, Republican, racist viewpoints. I love them all in together. I don't care.
Yeah.
You know, and they'll make those points and they'll say things like, well, that's just how people were raised. And in this world where we have such access to information and it's such a global community, mm-hmm. like that's not an excuse anymore.
Oh, no, go ahead. Yeah, I'm kind of agreeing with you. It's just like I was saying, how I grew up in Lake Forest. I don't know how to put it. I don't think people, even consciously are aware how their thoughts are. They just, a lot of like, I'm trying to think of a way like to say it in a nutshell. A lot of white people live together and can go most of their whole lives never really interacting with mm-hmm. that
Absolutely.
Many black people. Like
Absolutely.
Two or three, like you can go to high school and be with two or three. You can go to college
right.
and be like, oh, there's a black student union over there, you know, and you could work at a job. Like, I was telling someone, you know, I was a teacher. There were 700 students there. There were, whatever, 50 teachers. I was the only black teacher there. And if a white person was in that situation, they would talk about it nonstop. Like, oh, my God, I work at this black school. And there's no white people.
Right.
You know, but, like,
but
black
you shouldn't
people
be expected
are
to say
constantly
that.
In that situation where they're, like, the only one, you know. And so I think that, you know, white people can, why, you know, why they say things like, I have two white friends, you know, but they're not immersed in the culture. They don't really have to deal with black people.
Right, right.
On a daily
meeting two black people doesn't give you an idea of
right,
any
yeah.
sort of different culture other than your right. own watching someone suffer through your
right,
own culture.
Yeah, right.
Did you want to say something, Tom?
Yeah, I was going to say, like, growing up in Wisconsin, like, that was, you know, I went to that same situation, mm-hmm. high school with one African-American student.
Right.
And when I was 19, I moved down to Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
Complete culture shock.
Right.
And, you know, I think I thought because, you know, I read Maya Angelou and I read Richard Wright and I felt like, all right, I was ready for this world and I was sympathetic toward it and I thought right. I understood it. And within a week of living in Baton Rouge, I ended up in a very, very wrong part of town.
Mm-hmm.
And I had two police officers give me the full cops treatment up against the car
mm-hmm.
to remind me that I didn't belong there.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I realized how dangerous I was to black culture,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they were right. You know, what they did, it scared the hell out of me.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time, I didn't realize that, like,
you were the neighborhood that you were in was a black community,
yeah,
and they were
yeah.
telling you that, was it two white cops
it
telling
was two
you
white
to,
cops
telling and, you didn't belong there,
yeah, and they told me never ever come back here. They're like, the only reason white people come in this part of town is if they're selling drugs or guns, and you are not, you are dangerous to these people, and stay away. So I've been and like, I didn't understand
how confusing
that
yeah.
line until then, but once you cross it and you see and you're like, like, this really, it's a scary thing that we've done. And
right.
we keep you right where, like, the powers but that be, they
exactly
want you
it.
There. It's so easy to keep
that's
you there.
That's exactly
right.
it. It's the institution that maintains the status quo.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you dare come over here, because then you might find out some stuff that's not actually true.
Right.
Or some things that you thought weren't true that are true.
Right.
We got to keep that separate to keep people isolated
mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
ignorant.
Well, that's
keep,
the thing
keep
about
white
Chicago.
People thinking the South Side's just a ton of drugs. Don't ever go down
right.
there.
Yeah.
Don't
yeah.
ever
no.
meet anybody.
Oh,
don't
yeah.
blame.
Right.
But
the less
yeah,
we know, the scarier we can make.
Absolutely.
Right.
Oh yeah.
Like,
just,
absolutely.
I have friends from out
yeah.
of state who think, like, you know, I even have friends, forget out of state. Like, you know, my friends, we did school and they'd be like, oh, you know, be like, oh, let's go to a Cubs game. Oh, there's no Cubs game. Let's go to a White Sox game. I'm like, no, we're going to get shot. Like,
right.
in Bridgeport? Are you serious? Like, are you kidding me?
It is the cell.
Yeah. But they're like,
sorry,
oh,
South Side.
I know. They're like, oh, it's the South Side. Oh, my God. It's so, you know, like, my friend, this is recently. This is not 20 years ago. She was driving on the expressway and she called me and, like, my car's been on E for a long time and I'm, like, on 79th. Like, she's on the expressway passing 79th. It's like 11 o'clock in the afternoon. Like, is it safe to get off? Like, no. No, just keep driving until your car dies.
Yeah,
like, are you stupid? Like, what the heck's going to happen to you if you get off and get some gas?
Am,
like,
I safer running out of gas?
Right, like, you're...
Or pulling over and getting gas?
Right.
What are my choices?
No, just keep going on 94.
Just floor it. Get
stops.
Out of there.
Oh.
Right. Right.
That's, and that is the kind of conversation you keep in your head, too, by the way. Go ahead and have that scary conversation in your head.
Right.
We have to take a break here. I know we have Roger on the line that wants to join the conversation. We have the bellwether, Eric and Tom from the Bellwether in studio with us. We have Erica, Nicole Clark, Brandon C. Price, and Dwayne Kennedy. More after this on 720 WGN. We've been talking a little bit about a lot of different things, actually. And I know Roger, before we go to Roger Badish, we had a listener that wanted to join our conversation and share some thoughts. Roger, what were your thoughts?
Yeah, I did have a lot of thoughts. I don't know all your panel tonight or you don't have to introduce, but, you know, the one gentleman said that, or he made the comment that, that white people are afraid of blacks or certain minority, I think is a little misguided. You know, I'm born and raised in this city. You know, I've been here for 55 years, spent all my time here. Now, I've lived in four different areas, okay? You know, whites tend to leave areas that start to turn over because of crime rate. And unfortunately, and not pointing the finger, that is because it has happened because of areas that have turned over, either whether it be Hispanic or black. So it's not a finger pointing thing. It is what it is. And you know what? You're not going to get any politicians or anybody who's out in the public to say what it is and say, listen, you know, people aren't shooting people in Lincoln Park or Beverly the way they're shooting people in Inglewood or in Oakland or in any areas where these high crime rates are at, or the West Side.
Roger, you've shared a lot of thoughts with us. We're going to take a break for the news right now and come back to some of that when we so please listen, and we will discuss that when we return after Roger Bash shares all the news. You're listening Pretty Late. We're live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. It's Music Monday, and before we send them out on our roads, we want to hear one more song from the Bellwether. Here they are with Heading West.
Yeah, we've been heading west, been cutting across this sunset prairie ground. What began with vacant claims to tame this savage space has claimed us all. Yeah, you can't own anything that outlives you. Yeah, you can't claim any soul. Hello, one day you'll lay you in the ground. Yeah, well, in the end, we're just the world's on our headstones. And the whispers that they speak when we're gone. Yeah, we've been taking scalps for every plotter, king with a blood-red crown. Been plowing under graveyards, planting flags, and claiming sovereign ground. Yeah, we've been burning fields. The ash ran from the sky on the bones below. Been killing in the name of our Lord. Wash these hands and claim these savage souls. Yeah. You can't own anything that outlives you. Yeah, you can't claim any soul. Hello, one day you'll lay you in the ground. Yeah, well, in the end, it's the world's on our headstones. And the whispers that they scream when we're gone. Campfires burning low, lay my head against the ground, hear the voices down below. Lay my head against the ground, those ghosts are calling from below. Cause you can't own anything that outlives you. You can't claim any soul, whether one day you lay you in the ground. Well, in the end, we're just the words on our headstones. And the whispers that they speak when we're gone. And the whispers that they speak when we're gone. Thank you.
Bellwether. That's Eric and Tom, and they are playing at Uncommon Ground this Friday night. You can go to thebellwether.com, their website, and find out more information about those shows, and as well as in Sheboygan on Saturday at Paradigm Coffee and Music. Come grab some pizza before you guys have to pack up and stuff. We've got pizza in the Allstate Showcase studio from Lou Malnati's. Joining me as well, in addition to the Bellwether, is Erica Nicole Clark, Dwayne Kennedy, and Brandon C. Price. We've been talking a little bit about race, and we've been talking about Chicago. And before the news, we had a listener. We had Roger call and say that he wasn't pointing fingers, but he wanted to talk about the fact that I think Dwayne had said that people are afraid of black people.
Yeah.
And he was saying, well, you know, when certain groups move into certain neighborhoods, white people flee because the crime rates go up.
We flee. I mean, we're not afraid. We just flee.
We run. The very definition of being afraid is fleeing.
Fleeing.
Right.
Right. Well, I think we were trying to say they're fleeing from the crime, not the people.
That's what they're saying.
So how many whites have fleed from Wrigleyville?
Right. And there's crime.
A lot of crime. Mm-hmm. Especially now, all of a sudden, like with the burglaries and the rapes.
Yeah, but it's cooler there. Wrigley's there. Wrigley Field is there.
A neighborhood, if it's predominantly, whatever, take race out of the equation.
Okay.
If it's of a certain income bracket, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and then others move in, they probably are of that same income bracket. So now, but then when another group moves out, and then more people of a certain group move in, then the property gets revalued and devalued.
Right.
Then it becomes not just a race thing, it's a class thing.
Right.
You know, middle class blacks, lower class blacks, whatever. Now they move in, and then you have different types of elements of people. It's not the matter of just a group of people of a race. It's different income.
Economic. Right.
Yeah. Classes. So to say that if blacks initially move into a predominantly white neighborhood, they are probably of the same income bracket as the white folks that live there, or they mm-hmm. couldn't afford to move there.
Right.
You know? So then if those whites choose to flee.
Right. Well, some people, because, you know, in the 60s, Chicago had to start implementing certain guidelines for housing.
Right, because they were redlining.
Well, that's the thing. Well, I've been talking about this on the show for the last couple of weeks, even before the police video was released last Wednesday. Was it Wednesday? Tuesday? Last week. Let's just say last week. The thing about Chicago, and this is, you know, this is a very segregated city, and it was designed that way in many ways.
Yes.
There are neighborhoods that are predominantly black because that was where the city allowed them to live for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Right. Guided them and steered them into that area. Yeah. Right.
And I mean, the fact that someone told me, well, there's a black family lives in our neighborhood. The fact that you have to say
that. You know that.
Right.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, we don't walk past their house. It's right over there.
It's right around the corner. No, we know where it is.
You remember years ago, I mean, this was years ago, and there's a, I don't remember his name. It was a black man that owned National Pride Car Washes, mm-hmm. a series of them. He's a millionaire. Mm-hmm. And he tried to buy a house in Oak Brook.
Okay.
And the people found out that it was a black person going to buy this house and got together and they bought the house to keep him from, which is sad in one sense. And, you know, as an American, you should have the right to live anywhere you want to live. But I'm thinking, brother, why did you even want to live there?
Right.
Right.
Not to say you shouldn't have the right to live there.
But they didn't want you.
Yeah. I can't wait to join the Klan if they let me.
there's also like another concept that it's kind of crazy, but because I read some book, Jesse Jackson and a couple other people were like contributors to this book about like in particular Chicago, how when they put blacks in certain areas, then they wanted them to leave. Like, you know, my mom said, you know, her parents are from Mississippi and everything. They lived on South Michigan. And like a lot of people lived in where like Division and the Gold Coast are. And then like, oh, now they're in these really, like now you have these black people in these really good areas. You don't want them there anymore. So you give them like vouchers to move to like the south suburbs or to get as far away from the city as humanly possible, mm-hmm. you know. Yeah. And Jesse Jackson wrote on it and Farrakhan wrote on it how like you're pushing them so far out, and there's like one metro train that goes out there. There's no CT. There's no like public transportation. There's no colleges there. There's no way for them to leave.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these
isolated.
Yeah, they're isolated. Yeah.
It's keeping that class system.
Right. Yeah.
About.
So it's like, yeah. Oh, because, you know, my mom's saying like, yeah, you know, they lived in the project, but they were on 15th of Michigan. Like 15th of Michigan does not look like, you know, some projects now, but it's like, you know. Right. Oh, we put them in too good of an area. Like,
right. Yeah.
Go to Dalton.
We didn't mean to put you on right. property that was going to be valuable
right.
someday.
Yeah, it's like right. all the, you know, the Caprini Green was on Division, you know,
right.
and
yep.
like now that's
all gone.
All gone. Mm-hmm. Those are condos now.
Yeah, and Stateway Gardens, Robert there. Taylor Homes, all that land.
Yeah, my parents, yeah, grew up when they got older. They grew up in Robert Taylor, which is 35th, right?
Yeah.
In Michigan. But yeah, now they're all Lakewood condos and yeah. very nice. Yeah. It's like move.
Right, until it becomes a disadvantage to the city.
Right, yeah.
They go, wait
right.
a minute, let's
right.
rethink this. Because
right.
they decided to build up
right.
or contain. I mean, it really was, you know, there are
prison camps.
Yeah,
there was 20,000. My mom said 20,000 people lived in Robert Taylor. That is
right.
ridiculous amount.
And that was just in like three apartments.
Yeah.
Sorry, I got a minute. I'm sorry, Erica.
We were going for the same joke, right? One apartment.
And,
yeah.
and probably listening right now, someone just heard you say prison camps, and we're like, "Oh, that's a little much." No. But is it?
Yeah. Have you seen the pictures? How like the
yeah.
gates on it? Like,
yeah.
it's mm-hmm. a prison camp with one entrance.
And and to Eric's point, there would if you lived in those areas, mm-hmm. a lot of times it would be common if you went to apply for jobs. Sometimes if they saw your address, you would not get the job.
Right.
Yeah. Based on where you live. Now, so it's maintaining a level of poverty. I'm trying to get a job so I can do something else. Well, you live there. No, we can't have
right.
we can't hire
that's
you.
Crazy. Oh, sorry.
They saw your name and your name was of a certain
right.
quality.
Sound, right.
Like that was
mm-hmm.
right.
Oh, yeah.
And these areas that he's talking about, you know, where people would vacate them and a minority group would move in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, historically, that's always been like older ethnic neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the Czech neighborhood or the Polish neighborhood. And as those people get older and they're, you know, they used to be the minority group.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be the, you know, the Italians or the Irish or whatever.
Right.
But now they're just white people.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And the only and then,
we had
and then the minority
together.
Group can move in.
Yeah.
And then at some point, like that's how we know that this is race driven and not.
Right.
Not something else,
right.
because all of the other people who used to be ethnic, you know, at
right.
a time the you know Irish and Italians were ethnic people,
right?
But
they're
yes.
not now. But this
right.
is this we hold on to this one,
right?
And
yeah,
you know, and that's it's sad.
Mexicans
it really
get
is.
To be what's called the. I read an article where the buffer population because we can kind of go in between whether it's a black
right.
community or a white community.
That's absolutely true, and it's funny about you see like. Mexicans almost have like carte blanche to go. They kind of can transcend. And it's,
right.
I've seen Mexican cats working at sushi restaurants.
It's true.
Right?
Right. No, that's
they got
true.
Mexicans at the sushi
it's
joint
true.
Rolling up stuff.
Yeah. But if you walked in and a black guy was rolling up your sushi, you'd be like, I don't
mean,
know about
right,
this.
Right, right, right. Well, is rolling it up look like a... Nah, I don't know.
You guys
what's
want
he
some
rolling?
Spicy tuna?
That was the tightest California roll you ever had. Though, you know? That's some good stuff
that
right
cone
there.
Shape.
Warming it up with a lighter.
Right, right.
See, right? I mean, that's the thing is that we have to have a conversation. Otherwise, people are getting so angry on
mm-hmm.
Facebook about black people being angry.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I,
how dare you not like getting murdered?
Yeah. Well, and then they say, well, and then there's a lot of the, and I've said this in the weeks before this even, the video came out, we were talking about the Syrian refugees and people were saying, well, we can't allow the refugees into our country until we take care of our homeless and our veterans. Right. That was, and I call that a false choice. We're not doing that either. First of all, what plans do you have in place
right.
for fixing that? Because money has been voted down to provide services for the homeless and
right.
for our veterans. Right.
right.
That's
right.
already mismanaged.
Right.
So you're saying you won't do anything is what
right.
you said.
Right.
But when people say, well, you know, why don't black people riot when Tyshawn Lee was killed?
Oh, ooh.
Right, go ahead.
Speak on that.
Yeah,
that makes
please.
Me so angry. There's two reasons why I hate that, because I read somewhere, I think it's white on white crime is like, or
oh, then those
every race
mm-hmm.
is most likely to be murdered by their own race if
right.
they are murdered. I mean,
right.
not like we're all going to get murdered, but
yeah.
like.
Actually, it's a loved
likely.
One who's
yes.
most likely to do this to
right.
you.
We will all, I think it's like, they said like white on white crime is like 82%, black on black crime is like 85%. It's the same numbers. It Mexican on Mexican crime is the same percent. And the thing about Tyshawn Lee is they have the four guys. They have them. Mm-hmm. And I don't even think they got a bond. I doubt very seriously if the four boys got a bond. But they have them, case closed. They're probably going to get something ridiculous like 900 years. you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
they're going to get
right.
every charge. They're going to get 900 years. They're going to be put away. It's going right. to be done right. and sealed. Like, that is in the four boys. I remember one of them name was Corey. Like, they are not paid by the city. Corey's not paid to protect me. Corey's not. Like, if I start fighting with my boyfriend, am I going to call Corey up? Please help me. You know, like, right. he's not. I don't pay taxes to pay his salary. So right. he killed this boy or whatever. So I don't understand why people keep going back to, like, black-on-black crime. Like, oh, well, you guys kill each other, so why can't the cops do it? Like, you know what I
Ooh,
mean? So
see,
which is what my friend
yes.
said. And I had to get off the phone Ooh. With her because I was like, I'm going to kill her, and then, you know what I mean? I'm going to go to jail and whatever. So, but
I'm
yeah,
about to prove her point.
Right? Yeah. It's kind of like, it's that theory. Like, you guys kill each other, so what's the big deal when the cop does it? It's
like, because that's what it sounds like.
Officer.
That's what it sounds like, right. doesn't it?
And, yeah, and he's going to go home, and he was paid for 400 days, you right. know, at desk duty. You know, like, right. that Corey dude has been running since he murdered Tayshaun, and now he's in court with, or right. he's uh-huh. in jail with no bail, and he's going to be found guilty, and it's going to be over and done with.
Yep.
Not to mention, didn't this yep. police officer have, what, 18 mm-hmm. complaints?
Yes, right. 18? Of aggressive force, including shooting.
Yeah, and had been known to use racial slurs. And mm-hmm. So, you
so
know.
None of that stuff sells news, though. Right. Like, the soundbite is what sells the news.
Right.
And the underlying, you know, the statistics or the social status or the economics mm-hmm. or anything else, like, that never comes into play because right. it doesn't sell the news.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, but and they weren't tearing lights off a Christmas tree. The Christmas tree thing that people, oh, look at these thugs. Okay,
it's
so
a
are all the
tree?
Well, all no. the protests. Well, one, it's a symbol of the city. I'm yeah. And the other thing is
I was
that
like they should have burned it. Sorry. Well, but I mean, wanted them to do something.
Drastic.
Okay.
You wanted something drastic. There's anger.
Violent. Yeah. yeah. And I know that sounds terrible. And everyone's like, there's a meme that goes around. It makes me laugh. And I know we're not supposed to say this, but somebody wrote this meme like, you know, if I'm ever killed by the cops, do not do a peaceful protest. Burn the city down. Like, I want you guys to get crazy. And it's like, yeah, they pull down some lights, and this man's like, oh, it's going to take me all day to put these lights back up. Like, are you serious?
Yeah.
Like,
now, and I want people to listen, because you're posting on Facebook, oh, look at these animals. They're calling people animals.
Right.
They're calling human beings animals for tearing lights off of a Christmas tree and then saying, well, if this kid wasn't on PCP, right. he wouldn't have been shot. Right.
Patty,
yes, Roger?
We just got an email from the Chicago Police Department, surprisingly, at 20 minutes after 1 in the morning. It has their latest crime statistics through November.
Okay.
The
I thought they were dressing up.
I
thought the show was being arrested.
I cannot go back to jail, you guys.
Patty, they have asked you to cease and desist.
Brandon, come back in the room, Brandon.
I gotta go. I was never here.
I thought the show was being pulled over by email. Okay.
They have asked you to put your hands above your head.
No. Could you please send the two black guests outside?
My name is okay. Tammy.
Okay.
It's funny because I feel much safer now.
I think the musicians just ate a bunch of stuff. I don't know what any of that stuff was.
Okay, Roger, can you hold the stats until I come back from a break because we're laughing too hard to take your information seriously
okay.
yet?
All right.
Roger will come back and let us know about the crime statistics in the city of Chicago. More to this on 720 WEAST. That's funny, Craig. This actually only makes me think of Brandon C. Price and Vamp, by the way. This, you guys use this
every show.
Show.
We have a Michael McDonald moment where we just sing the first two lines of that song.
Awesome.
And usually the MD will kick it in when we make a joke that doesn't land or something in the hosting. We were just doing it in rehearsal one time, and the whole cast, nobody knew the words, so they all went, and it was just so funny. We put it in the show, and we've been doing it every time.
That's funny.
It's also one of the greatest poems of all time. Just look at the lyrics if you haven't.
I don't know.
Did you call it a poem?
Yes. I mean, just lyrically, I just mean, like, the music's great, but you take away the music, the man is a poet.
I had a friend that very song break it down to me, just like that. And she was explaining the lyrics, man, because, you know, what a fool believes. I don't know.
Did you ponder it?
Perhaps, yeah. I was a fool that was pondering.
Now I have to.
Give the whole taking it to
she's looking at the lyrics. Erica's like, I have to look at the lyrics.
I have to look up the lyrics.
Yes, Craig?
We did get a couple text messages, by the way.
Yes.
From the 708, what a racist commentary tonight. These guys are so narrow-minded.
Who's narrow-minded?
That is
Erica
and
Dwayne?
That is the end of the text.
Erica, Dwayne, Brandon C. Price. They have to be more specific.
708, you have to tell us who
text
you
text in
think.
And call us out.
Yeah.
How dare they be right?
Narrow-minded.
I said, but this
we're also
is
a, representing like three major race groups right here. Can we all be racist at the same time?
I don't. Like, yeah, that's why I'm confused. Who? Mm-hmm. That's why you have to be specific because we have Erica and Dwayne. Mm-hmm. Black? Do you prefer African American? I don't know. This is a question that comes up.
You know, it depends on the situation. If it's an emergency, black, you got to get to it quick.
Okay.
There's an African American of North American descent that's in, never mind. He's dead.
You're an idiot.
There's a Serbo-Croatian who drove him. That's okay.
Because and this is what white people will tell you. That I will say African American, and then someone will tell me I prefer black, and I'm like, I don't know anymore.
I hate when someone says African American.
Yeah,
to
my
me,
aunt
like,
is from South Africa and very white, and she considers herself African American.
She's right.
Right. That's what I'm
saying. She's an African in America.
I guess I'm my heritage is Irish and Mexican. I guess I'm Latina, but I mean, people would think I'm white when you see me.
You're a white Latina.
Exactly.
You're a Latina.
I feel that way.
So a few more text messages,
yes, please.
By the way, from the 847. I'm white, but just want to say that in the first grade, there were only three white kids in my class, and it was totally normal for me. I'm glad that I had that experience, and that was my life, and those were my friends.
There
you go. I do not believe you, 847. One, because you're in 847. You're in Lake County. So you did not, unless you went to Waukegan or North Chicago, you were not one of only three.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm sorry.
I don't know the demographics of any of our suburbs.
Right.
That's a nice thought.
Maybe they didn't grow up in 847. Maybe they moved to the 847.
Oh, okay.
See?
There we go.
No, we can be.
Yeah.
Okay.
From a different 847, way to make a joke of the CPD, Patty. Very disappointed in you tonight.
Which joke?
I don't know.
About the CPD pulling us over?
Yeah, this was at 1:31, so this was during the news.
Oh, that was right when I was coming in with the crime stats.
That I got scared that they might be pulling over the show?
Yeah. I was a little serious when
you
I started.
You were so very serious.
I'm sorry.
You said you were interrupting the show.
Well, I thought it was in keeping with the subject matter that the crime stats had just come out, and I wanted to get that out so that it could be part of the discussion.
Yeah, I can't address a joke if I don't know what I joked about. I don't know what it was. I don't know. I mean, I can't. It's hard, you know. You have to be specific. So go ahead. You can text us back. Let us know which one it was, and we'll address it.
One last text from the 224. I don't mean to sound dumb, and I understand that people are upset about the shooting the young man 16 times. I agree that was just wrong. What I don't understand, when an African-American shoots a white person, we hear it one day and it's gone. There is no protest or racism, no hate crime accusations. Why?
When was the last? There was one story when there was a black cop who shot.
Are we talking about police officers? Did they say they mean police officers specifically?
They didn't make that distinction, but yeah. We could.
Well, that's an important distinction. Back to Erica's point, you know, we don't pay everyone to guard us.
Right. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, so I'm not sure which.
Yeah. So I don't know. If
maybe
there
should
out.
Be. Maybe we should treat why all did, violent crime well, as something that we won't tolerate.
Well, and why do black people have to always? Are they saying that? Why don't they?
Why don't they protest?
Yeah. I don't know.
Go for it. Pull a tree down or whatever.
I'm just curious.
I mean, like the Tea Party started as protest. That was vandalism. That you know.
Oh,
I think
man.
They forget their roots.
Yeah.
That's turning out really well.
The Tea Party?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sorry I brought it up.
No.
I thought you were talking about the original Tea Party.
I think he is.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
that did turn out
very
well.
Every time they say, every time there's some sort of protest, these guys turn over cars and light things on fire and things like that.
That's
and
when the Blackhawks win.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I mixed up like sports and violence. I just, yeah.
No, but I.
But no, I mean, they forget that historically, like, this is what people like.
That's
routine, what they had at the time.
So to address a couple of texters, so what you don't like is when I have people with different opinions come on the show. If as long as we maintain the same sort of tone, that's okay. But you get really upset when we try to hear other voices. So that's what we're hearing. Brandy, you wanted to join the conversation.
I did, and I don't know about the texters, but I think this is the best conversation I've heard
in months. I love you guys.
Oh, Brandy,
I gotta defend Waukegan. My daughter's she's as white as they get. She's a ginger and everything else. But she did go to Waukegan schools for third grade, and she was the only white child out of all three third grades.
I knew it had to be Waukegan or North Chicago, yeah.
Yep, you're right. So, yeah, you nailed that one on the head. But, those were mostly, it wasn't African American, it was Spanish.
Right.
Oh, really? Okay.
Predominantly Hispanic.
So,
there you go.
Yeah, but you guys have a great night and keep up this kind of conversation. I think it's healthy and lethargic, and I mean, it's good.
It's cathartic.
Good conversation.
I agree. Thank you, Linda. Have a good night.
We did get a text back.
I mean, Brandy. Thank you, Brandy. Yes.
We did get a text back from that person. They're in Lake County now, but they grew up in South Bend, Indiana.
Oh, there you
go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right, then. Linda, there you are. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good.
Excellent. What do you want to tell us?
Okay. I've lived in this neighborhood for 70 years, grew up. We were in the far east, southeast side, what used to be called the Millgate Steel Mills. And there's been all different kind of ethnic groups come through this neighborhood. We've been predominantly white. Now we're predominantly African-American and Hispanic. And the Hispanics are starting to even move out because there's nothing left practically. But what I like to say is each time I've had a violence against me, my purse robbed 3 different times, house has been broken into, it's all been African-American. But the African-American people in the neighborhood themselves are disgusted with these that are moving in and that are doing all of this because they don't want it either. They want to be able to live where they could have a good place and be safe. They want, just like everybody else, the trouble is we have a few that do not want things to be safe. And they enjoy having all of this
chaos,
things going on and all this in the news. And there are instigators out there. And I feel
You mean which part? I'm sorry, the crime or the protests?
With the protest. But with the crime, you know, they blame it that there's no jobs. All these jobs, the McDonald's and that, those were for the high school kids and maybe moms during the day making a few extra dollars. Those were not to be having to be raising a family on, and they use the excuse, there's no jobs. You know what? We all went to the same schools. We went to Bowen High School, CVS High School, Washington High School. A lot of us are working, retired, and that. But then you see there are some, they're up all night, sleep all day, and they're getting welfare, and they have no ambition at all.
Okay. Linda, you covered a lot of things. First of all, I'm going to guess that when you're in these neighborhoods that you're talking about, the demographic has changed, and the amount of money that's being put into those schools is not as commensurate with what it was years ago. Because and I would say that they are being strangled. Those neighborhoods are being strangled economically, educationally, and that has been an institutionalized form of isolating a community, and that's what we've talked about before. So I don't think that it's quite. Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot that came up in that conversation, Dwayne.
Yeah.
I'm not sure which one to address first.
Well, the thing about no job, I mean, they're not working. But like you said, Patty, I mean, you can't make somebody hire you. Do you know? To me, the most glaring example is when you drive and you're driving the street and you see road crews. And you see people working in the streets, you see construction crews. How many of those people are black or non-white? Not many of them, do you know? And those are great
and for years,
jobs.
Right, and for years, those are the kind of jobs if you knew somebody that knew somebody could help you get a job. So if you're somebody that's already on the outside of a social group.
Right. Mm-hmm. So how are you gonna get that job?
Well, this city, I mean, is so deeply entrenched in patronage, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, that was how Daley ran the city, is he had, you know, thousands of people throughout the city. If they helped him get reelected every time, they continued to work for the city. They were on a payroll with the city. And that, I mean, that's decades. What was that?
I liked him, though.
You liked him? No, the first Daley, not the second Daley.
Oh, no, I didn't like him. Yeah, I liked him. No one liked that.
The second Daley, do you remember you talking about institutions and choking off opportunity?
years ago when there was that Firehouse restaurant on Michigan, when mm-hmm. it was actual Firehouse, and then and some of Mayor Daley's friends bought it, rehabbed it, and turned it into a restaurant, and they got a liquor license because it wasn't zoned for a liquor license. They got their liquor license,
right?
You know, in a snap. Meanwhile, the brother Raymond, I can't remember his last name, that used to own All Jokes Aside, started a
Raymond
new
Lampert. Yeah,
you Raymond Lampert,
mm-hmm.
and he started a club on, I think it was on Kinsey.
Kinsey, yeah, Tim yeah, Kinsey.
Yes, could never get a liquor license. For whatever reason, he could never get a liquor license. And you know, Patty, you know,
comedy
Erica,
clubs, you gotta,
comedy club, you gotta have a liquor license.
Yeah.
Yeah, he could never get one, and he was right around the corner
because of the neighborhood, because yeah. and the kind of clientele the, yeah, that they knew they were gonna have.
Right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. he never could, and then you know, wound up closing.
By the way, Steve called in real quick, and he said that he loves the fact that you guys were able to cover this topic and keep it lighthearted tonight. There was kind of a light, kind of fun
right.
aspect to the conversation, but he thanks you for it.
But I insulted the Chicago
Police
Department.
Well, and that stuff, you know. But and
do,
then
we,
also,
do we find out which joke it was?
No. And then from text messages from the 773, tonight's conversation is real, and it's very sad, but it's often the truth that people can't handle. Keep speaking the truth, Patty Vasquez.
Well, I'm not. we all are. That's what we're trying to do.
312, good show tonight. Well spoken. The guests are very witty and bright. I couldn't ask for anything more. Thank you, Patty and guests.
Yeah, there you go. That's Erica Nicole Clark, Dwayne Kennedy, Brandon C. Price. We have Tom and Eric from the Bellwether. I don't have their last names. I apologize, guys. What are your last names so I can be accurate?
Abramitis.
Abramitis.
You can try to spell it.
I'm not going to do that.
And I am Eric Cox.
Eric Cox, C-O-X.
Mm-hmm.
All right, then. And go to thebellwether.com for more information about their shows. They are going to play at Uncommon Ground this Friday night. We were dazzled by their music in the studio. We have a listener who's one of our favorites here. We haven't heard from him not too often lately. I know that sometimes it's hard to get through, Joe. Hey, Punkin, how you doing?
Oh, not too bad, kiddo.
Which
listen, I the fantastic conversation. You guys have covered a lot of ground,
mm-hmm.
and I could have interjected about, oh, I don't know, two dozen times.
Right.
But the final interjection will be this. We have a lot of good cops.
Yes.
Phenomenal. I think about 98-99% are good. You got a bad apple in any barrel, right? You get teachers that are phenomenal. They progress kids through the lower years, high school, promote them to college. You got a few bad apples there, too. The problem with the black unemployment rate at about 50% right now, which is unconscionable, is you can't get rid of bad teachers due to unions. Same thing with cops. This guy, I don't know, I'm the first guy to not throw stones. His defense lawyer came out and said, you can't judge us on the street and on the TV and the media. Couldn't agree with him more. I don't know if this guy is guilty or not. I'm the first guy to say, I don't know. I'm letting the grand jury, if they say,
right.
you know, enlist one, whatever.
Did you watch the video, Joe?
Yes, I did.
I think what a lot of people have problems with were the initial reports, yes. right, and then and how much that conflicts with what the video shows, too.
Correct, but look at Sturdivant. I mean, the Missouri thing. The guy's robbing a store. He's a teenager, but he's approaching 300 pounds. He robs a store, gets some cigars and cigarettes with his pal, pushes the store owner out the, you know, as he is leaving the door. Then he approaches a cop, grabs his gun, tries to, whatever.
Well, that we don't have
video.
Video
is one element.
Right. But that one, we don't have video of exactly what happened with the police officer's car, or whether or not he did reach
into the car. He was reporting to a guy that was stealing from cars with a knife, breaking into the doors and stealing.
Which one are we on now? Are we on Ferguson or are we on Chicago?
Chicago.
Okay.
Ferguson was a guy robbing the store. You had a video on that.
Right.
The police reported to the place in Chicago because there was a guy stealing from cars with a knife, jimmying doors.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't reported.
Okay.
You know, that's my other gripe. The media doesn't report the full story. And another little minor point, why do they show him with a graduate cap and gown?
What would you prefer?
What's the implication behind that?
What would you prefer?
A picture of him, a common guy. A teenager. Why did he picture him as a graduate of, college, high school, whatever, a perfect student?
Well, who do you think? I guess that would depend on where they, do they ask the parents for a picture? Why wouldn't a parent want to provide the picture they would like to share?
It might just also be because of his age, Joe. He was the age of someone who was probably just recently graduate of something, and that would be a very current picture of him. I don't know about you, but when I was that age, I didn't take a lot of photos outside of you know, my graduation ones and stuff. So maybe that was just the most current picture they could find.
Well, I agree. That's a possibility. But the only picture they showed of him is a cap and gown. Give me a break.
So it was a conspiracy of accomplishment?
Gee whiz. You know, so much rhetoric. I don't like rhetoric.
What do you mean? Which? But you're kind of using rhetoric. Go ahead. You're on.
Can I ask you a question, though?
Sure.
Okay, so we know that Van Dyke lied or misrepresented himself. He said he was lunged at. We saw a video and he wasn't.
The video itself is condemning. It's abhorrent. It's abysmal.
Joe, we let you talk for a few moments. Erica to finish.
Do you possibly believe that in other cases where there wasn't a video, maybe the cop was lying as well?
I concur. I agree.
Okay, so do you think possibly, like in Ferguson, that maybe Darren Wilson wasn't telling the full 100% truth?
My question back to you is, why was the, you know, it can go both ways.
Right.
Why did they deliberate on this for a year? What's the background? What's the full history? This is why I'm saying I'm not the first guy to throw a stone, because I don't know all the details.
Right.
Really?
Yeah,
this is a grand jury scenario.
And everyone wants to know why Anita Alvarez took so long. Was it political? Was it from her office? Was it the police department? Was it the mayor's office?
And it was at the request of the reporter to get the freedom of information to have that video disclosed. Otherwise, they would have never shown that. Mm-hmm. And the cop story would have held.
Right.
In fact, there's another part of the that there had been 14 other Freedom of Information requests that had been rejected by the department prior to the one that got approved by the court.
And he sued. He was the only one to sue. Is that correct?
He sued. That's why it went into court. Mm-hmm. And secondly, it was always reported that the original call that started this whole thing was because there was a report of someone stabbing at cars, trying to break into them.
Right.
That was the origination of this incident, and that was always
reported. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is it also true that the reason the family got $5 million before anything else came to light was because they had gotten the video?
Yeah.
Somehow they had.
I have no idea about that.
Yeah. Well, that was hush money?
I heard that they got their hands on the video, and the deal was that you can't share the video anywhere. Right.
Where did that money come from?
That was a condition of the payment,
right,
that video could not be revealed.
But the only reason they settled it at all is because they found out the family had access to the video.
Wow. Wait.
That's
the cops can just go, I can't have you. Where did our taxpayer dollars?
Yeah. The city made the agreement.
Yeah,
the city made the agreement to settle for $5 million when they found out the family had the video.
How did the family get the video?
That's a great question.
It was given.
So there might have been a whistleblower in the Chicago Police Department. I mean, who else would have had access to the video?
Because
the state attorney's office.
And you've heard that. Is it true about the two videos that there's another angle? There's audio.
There's four other videos from the other police cars that were there.
Right.
I haven't heard anything about audio. Have you?
Oh, there's an audio.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I have audio, and for $1 million, I won't share it.
Oh, no, I see. No, no. Yes. I'm sorry. Who was?
They claim somebody has audio where you can literally hear him trying to reload the guns and whatever. Yeah, I guess it's really heinous.
Well, I think that was actually, it sounds like they have witness testimony that they had to yell at him to not reload his gun. So, and then now we are, see, the thing is that now we are sort of in the, that's what I heard, this is what I've heard.
Right.
Well, all we really saw was what was on the video and what the police report actually said,
right?
And what the call was about. Those are the things that we actually have.
Can I ask?
Yes, of course.
Do all the cop cars have dash cams?
I don't know, Roger, do you know if they all have dash cams?
They're all supposed to, at least all patrol cars. Not sure if like the sergeant's car or commander's car has them, but all patrol cars are supposed to. That doesn't mean that all of them work.
Right.
And it doesn't mean that all of them are always pointed at where they're supposed to be looking.
Right.
And they said it's a common practice that when lawyers retrieve those dash cam recordings, the audio is almost always deleted.
That's crazy.
I had no idea about that.
But I read something about the dash cams now, or body cams, so much. Like, if they are in any way tampered with, then it goes immediately to the police station, and, like, you have to radio in why your body cam is not working.
Yeah, but they still don't legally have to wear them.
Not yet.
You know, there's such an argument about their own safety and, like, being able to actually police, which, I don't know. It seems to me
They're rolling them out. They're rolling out the body cameras in very small sections. Mm-hmm. The announcement the other day, yesterday, was that there was a new phase-in of some body cams in another area of town for other officers, but it is not citywide yet.
Well, before we take a break, I want to one more time address the texter who was disappointed that I perhaps made a joke about the Chicago Police Department. I don't know what the joke was, so I can't address it directly. But I will say this, and I think I speak for all of our guests. We do have, we know that there are many good police officers. We've talked about that on the show many times. If you don't already know that, perhaps you don't listen enough. I think that you also know that I took the Chicago Police Department test in 2001, was more than happy and ready to join the police force. Actually, right now, the police department has open applications. They are accepting applications, and you can find out about that. Just Google Chicago Police Department if you want to join the police department and be a part of an organization that does need good officers and has good officers. So that's really all I can say about the texter and your complaint. More after this on 720 WGN.